It's Casualty Friday on the Fangoria Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to these 8 episodes of Casualty Friday featuring Tiffany Shepis, Kane Hodder, and Felissa Rose. I'm Natasha, the Vanguard of the Fango Vault and producer of Casualty Friday. And if you've enjoyed these episodes, let us know on Fangoria's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'll lock these crazy people in the Fango Vault again for season 2. So let us know if you've enjoyed Casualty Friday. And before Tiffany, Felissa, and Kane discuss their feelings on the state of the horror genre today in this episode, I also wanted to let you know that we had a minor technical issue with our recording equipment, so the audio is just slightly different than previous episodes. Let's just say Kane got a little excited with a prop machete. Now, get ready for Tiffany, Felissa, and Kane and their fascinating discussion on how they feel about the horror genre today.
Thanks for listening to Casualty Friday on the Fangoria Podcast Network. I'm Kane Hodder, and before we get into the episode, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine was huge for my success in my career. No one knew my name from anyone until I was in Fangoria Magazine. Completely changed my career, and I'll be forever grateful. Fangoria Magazine is now a deluxe 100-page quarterly edition. Each issue includes set visits, deep dives, new discoveries, and minimal ads, all printed on collectible-grade paper stock that reimagines the classic magazine for a 2019 audience. You'll see familiar names like Michael Gingold and Tony Timpone, and you'll see bylines that will freeze your face off, like Barbara Crampton and S. Craig Zahler. And the best part? It's print only, just like the good old days. Go to Fangoria.com to subscribe today. Do it. And I want to tell you about Fright Rags. Fright Rags is the premier place for horror apparel and accessories from all your favorite creature features, slasher flicks, and cult classics. Now in their 16th year, Fright Rags has officially licensed products for over 50 films, releasing new collections every week. Get 10% off your first order. Head on over to fright-rags.com and enter code FANGO40 at checkout to activate your discount. That's fright-rags.com.
Fangoria presents Casualty Friday.
Hey, my favorite campers, you are listening to Casualty Friday on the Fangoria Podcast Network, and I am with my amazing friends.
Hey, I'm Tiffany Shepis.
Kane Hodder.
Check it out. We are about to chat with you about horror now, horror today. We have a lot to
horror?
Say.
Horror?
Horror.
Horror at this very second. This
I
very
thought it second. Was horrors now.
Horrors now.
Kane, far more interesting.
We had a giant list ready.
Kane only signed up because he thought the topic was horrors today.
Yeah,
horrors
who wouldn't today. Want to be involved in that conversation?
So thanks so much for joining us, Tiff. Let's chat it out. Horror now.
Horror now. I mean, I think it's kind of crazy that the genre has gotten better and better and better.
Ooh.
I mean, there is so many cool horror films that have come out in the last 5 to 10 years.
A lot more intelligence in them as well.
Absolutely. But film or digital. You know, I started on 35 millimeter because I'm 162. So
you don't look more than 90, though, really.
Yeah, you're looking
you're
pretty
well.
Damn good.
Thank
for
you.
85.
All right. Thank you. Film to me was so beautiful and classic, and there's nothing like watching an actual 35 millimeter print.
Absolutely. And I think there was a lot more, not that you had to put more time and effort, but like when you had one shot, and literally
sure,
one shot
expensive.
To get it right, it's expensive. People really put a lot into making those, make sure that it happened properly rather than digital today where you just go, let's do it again.
No slackers in the heyday.
A lot more pressure as an actor to know your lines,
that's
to get
true.
It right, not screw it up, make sure that you had practiced and rehearsed enough, right?
And with stunts, you get paid per time you perform the stunt if you're on the movie.
Oh, wow.
The proper way.
I didn't know that.
If you're doing, if it's something difficult, if you're getting hit by a car, and so the stunt coordinator budgets how much he thinks that's worth over and above the SAG rate, it's stunt adjustment. So when you have to perform that stunt again for whatever reason, the camera missed it, or if it isn't on you that the performance was bad, you get that stunt adjustment a second time on a real movie.
So wait, so you then would prefer digital over film because there's a lot more opportunity to do it over and over again.
Right. Depending on the film. Now, certain budgets don't allow for that. And as a stunt person, you have to go in knowing that you may have to do this stunt more than once and still have basically the same adjustment. So, you know, the digital side of it does help if you're on a real budget film.
Sure, sure. Do you remember the first time you saw yourself on digital? Like, I mean, I just shit my pants because it's so completely different. When you're on film, you're all smooth.
It's not forgiving at all.
No, like, digital, you see every fucking, you know, on my 198 you know, year face, you could see every wrinkle, every booger, every...
No, definitely film is like the candlelight of forgiving. It's like the romantic night in a dark room, you know?
Yeah, the candlelight
is a dark room is film, and digital is like fluorescent lights, sex in the bathroom.
Have you talked to that?
You know, it's not fun to look like that. But do you guys think, I mean, I feel like the genre is just so friggin' mainstream now.
Oh my gosh.
And it's
certainly
awesome.
Not a stigma if you're a fan of horror films. No. Now, like it maybe was.
And I feel that's because of television. I feel like TV, because it's in our living room,
sure,
it very much is kind of like the cue to all people, like, hey, this is okay, look at this. And there are amazing shows, The Walking Dead, Stranger Things. We're seeing fantastic television. Yes. And people are watching it, people are loving it, and the films today are extraordinary.
And big celebrities starring in them.
That's
where
what I was
a long time ago, like, you know, right. It was just, you know, kind of B-level.
Not everyone.
Like, oh, think she does or he does horror films.
Yeah, I'm not really into that. It's like people have said, like, well, we don't want a Scream Queen. It's like now Scream Queens was a show. You know, it was a show called Scream Queens.
Yeah.
You know,
and even with horror conventions too, I'm sure you see that. It used to be a certain demographic of people as celebrities there. Now, big time stars are coming in to do these conventions, even though they're not really horror.
But let's also remember, like, the OG ones who were there when it was still just and pop business. Me, Kane, Felissa. It's not just like, you know, oh, wow, we're cashing in on the fact that horror is lucrative. It's like we all live and breathe it and
Absolutely.
Love it. But there was definitely a time when I would go to meetings and I would try to pitch shows about horror films. And I'd literally be talking to executives and they'd look at me like I had five heads because I'm like, no, horror movies. Like, horror movies? But who's going to watch
were you
that?
Pitching my mom?
Yes. Your mother was there.
Horror
like, Joan.
You got a great idea.
But no, people just didn't understand it. And
do
they didn't
feel like
think
it's
there was
too
a market.
Saturated today? Do you feel like because... Even now, people use their iPhones. I've made movies on iPhones to Jennifer, a whole series. And it's like, you can pick up your iPhone. You can use a camera. Do you feel like there are...
I never felt that way.
But and I'm happy that there is, you know...
A huge platform.
Everyone, if you have a dream, if you're passionate, if you're excited about horror movies, you can make it, you know?
I think that it's awesome that there's different areas that we can watch stuff like Shudder, like, you know, putting out this programming
Shudder.
There that you can buy and still get a Fango in the mail and read about new and up and coming.
Fangoria Podcast Network. Amazing.
No, but I think it's amazing that these places are still readily available as well as like your regular horror websites. Like you can find quality horror movies kind of everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And huge directors.
Sure.
I mean, creating the best, you know, films out there are horror movies. We're seeing even the Academy Awards, you know, Shape of Water and Get Out. It's fantastic. I think we're in the best time. And I think we're only getting better, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you can go walk down the street and little kids at, you know, your son and daughter's school are wearing Stranger Things t-shirts. It's not a say, like before it used to almost be like, I would tell people about horror films and it's like, I was selling them a pyramid scheme, you know, that I was like, no, let me tell you about this concoction, you know? And they were like, what? You know, it was only like the outcasts, right?
Certainly is more mainstream and that, you know, it's too bad that it wasn't always that way, but at least it is now. You know, people have finally gotten to the point of thinking that it's not just fucking weirdos that mm-hmm. watch horror. It can be psychological horror, whether it's, you know, a lot of violence on screen or not, it can still fuck you up in the mind, and that's great.
Are there any things horror-wise that you guys have seen in the last couple of years that have scared you?
The strangers. And I think it's because sometimes when I watch home invasion movies, it terrifies me, because that's actually something that could really happen in your life. Sure. And I think it was such a well-done film. I really enjoyed that.
I have a similar one with The Purge.
Oh, I love it.
Because to me, that is a terrifying thing, and especially with, you know, watching the news and seeing certain types of groups of people banding together going, what the fuck? What if somebody turned on us? You know, what if your neighbor all of a sudden was out to get you? Like, how would you fight back? Now, maybe Kane's like, well, fuck it. I'm in my garage. I'm going to kick somebody's ass. I'm like, I might run.
No, I mean, I wish I could say some movie has scared me, but I'm not trying to be a fucking tough guy, but it you know, makes me think and stuff like that, but not really make me uneasy or scared or anything. And, you know, if somebody can, boy, that would be very cool.
All right, that's it, guys. You got to try to scare Kane hotter.
So there's not even like a, you know, because we have the genre and then a lot of subgenres. Do you feel like there's one that would be more terrifying than another, whether it's supernatural or home invasion, slasher?
I mean, do films about ghosts bother you?
Not particularly. Although, that being said, like the movie The Witch, not a ghost movie, but definitely like a supernaturally feel to it, had me very unsettled and uneasy. Like when I was going to bed that night, I wasn't scared that Black Phillip was going to come and, you know, take my soul. But I definitely was like, holy shit, that was a heavy thing that made me uncomfortable going to bed.
Because you guys know that with the ghost hunting group that I have, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, we've investigated everywhere that has any kind of paranormal history. We've been there. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to witness anything that made me feel uneasy, even. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, because so often I think people exaggerate things inadvertently, even.
Sure.
So I'm very careful to make sure, was that really something weird, or could it have been something natural?
But, I mean, the thought that some people do have these supernatural experiences, I mean, maybe it is just a sort of a comfort zone, even though it may be scary. It's kind of like my feeling of, like, I think people are watching down on us. You can't believe that people are watching down on you for good if you don't also believe that.
I definitely believe that. Have you ever seen a medium? I used to go see a medium all the time because I was engaged to someone, and unfortunately he died in our bed, and I found him.
While you were in the bed?
No, I was out, and then when I came home, he was gone.
Wow.
So,
don't talk about that very often,
but,
do you?
No, but I actually spoke about it with Joe Lynch and Adam Green on the Movie Crypt podcast. Wow. And it happened many, many years ago, but it was such a horrible, obviously a horrible experience that left me completely, you know, crippled for a long time emotionally.
So, yes, of course.
But I went to see a medium in New York, and she was this lovely, sweet woman named Mary in New York. And I would go to her little apartment. It was like a basement apartment in someone's house. She was the kindest woman. She wasn't doing it like, oh, I'm a medium, I'm here to,
here's, you know, my bones right here,
I need some cash. I would go, and as soon as I went in, she said, oh, there's a lot of smoke. He died of a heroin overdose. And she knew right away, and she spoke between the two of us. And for
how
a long
did that
time,
have to do with smoke?
Well, because he would smoke black tar heroin.
Oh, I see.
So the smoke, she said she could, you know, it was like lingering. It was in the room with her. And she spoke to him and knew so many things that she could never have known. So I'm really, I love going to see psychics and mediums. And I do believe there is like an extension of energy and something that.
So some type of afterlife.
Yeah. I think we physically leave, but our energy is still, you know, present. And
she had no contact with anyone
in
your family.
Nothing. Didn't know me.
It wasn't like
didn't
the
know
Big Adventure thing where you gave her your wallet and she saw a picture of the bike.
Absolutely zero. And it was the most wonderful and cathartic experience I'd ever had in my life, because it healed me. It helped connect me with him, understand what happened, and really gave me a higher understanding and perspective on life and where we are on this journey. It was beautiful.
Well, and I think, like, whether people believe in that or not, like, those that happening to you, whether it was pure coincidence or she actually knew, doesn't matter. You know, yeah, if it helped you, and I think that's what a lot of, at least how I feel about, like, when I say I believe in an afterlife, because to me it's just a more comforting feeling than going, up. Oh, well, this is it.
This I is certainly hope there's something more.
Yeah.
But right. I think, not in your case necessarily, but I think sometimes mediums, you know, man, give generalizations.
Sure.
And the Absolutely. Person wanting to believe makes everything fit, you know. Not to dispute the...
No, I didn't even say a word.
She sees smoke. Well, wow. That, you know...
Certainly.
She also could have been fire, could have been... You know, so it could fit a lot of different things.
Yeah, but she also said that, and she knew nothing about me. Again, nothing. She said, right now he's showing his arm. And he had just gotten my name tattooed on his arm. So there was
that's weird,
you know, the closeness, and it was. I've had great experiences. I also saw a psychic who had I didn't know and gave me a great reading and said things about my future, and it all happened. So I, you know, it depends who you see and perhaps what you believe, but I've had really wonderful experiences.
I guess I just wish there wasn't. You know, exposed charlatans in that type of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes if there are real mediums and, you know, kind of compromises their work.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but it's kind of all goes back to, like, what you believe, what scares you, kind of like with horror. Like, you know, why so many of us are drawn to different types of scary movies. Like, if you believe in an afterlife, then you may be prone to being terrified of the creepy paranormal films. Where if you don't, you're like, this fucking ghosts aren't real. Right? You know, if you have a family, often I found a lot of, like, moms and stuff are afraid of, like, the home invasion strangers.
Oh my gosh. Yes, funny games.
Oh, funny games.
Terrifying. And it's like family. And it's
yeah, just, where maybe before I had kids, I might not have given a shit. I would have been like, oh, whatever, I'd fight that guy. You know, but now when you have something at stake,
exactly,
you're going, oh shit, what would I do? You know, like The Last House on the Left. Like, what would you do?
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about, like, how, you know, how horror has changed. And do you feel the nostalgia? Like, is that a blessing or is it a curse that people go back to the older films?
It's a curse for me because I haven't made enough goddamn movies from the past.
I can't imagine anyone that's known for anything in horror. Thinking it's the greatest thing in the world.
We're so blessed for that. Yeah.
Things have happened in our careers, all positive because of that. You know, certainly didn't detract from anything. Not my case, anyway.
What do you guys feel about remakes, like, of your movies or others?
I used to say I wasn't quite sure because we should just kind of, you know, keep the original in its perfect state. But now I like the idea of remakes because it also brings the spotlight onto the original.
Back to the original. Yeah, it doesn't change the original.
Generations of a new generation, you know, the films that we made in the 70s and 80s. And so it's a good thing.
I don't mind it, you know, especially if some new twist is added to the story. Sure, that may have, as a viewer, you could think, oh, that was never explored. That's kind of interesting. So, and then you have people like Danielle Harris, who did two Halloween movies as a little girl.
Yeah, as an adult. That's
did
amazing.
The Halloween movies right. that Rob Zombie did as an adult. That's pretty cool.
That's a
pretty
cool fantastic. Career. I mean, that's an amazing thing that you could be able to do that. I mean, and also, I mean, sometimes it is to the detriment of the movie, but sometimes this is a positive that you can now go back and have better special effects or, you know, more money towards something that you're like, oh man, that movie would have been amazing had it had an actual budget, which now maybe because things are mainstream, it's allowed to.
Right. And different areas can be enhanced, like you're saying, like effects.
With VFX or whatever.
And it can just add to it. If it's done with reverence in mind to the original product, I think it's good.
Sure. I mean, I think there, do you feel that because horror is mainstream now that we have more competition as far as like bigger actors wanting these parts, bigger directors vying for these jobs?
I never think about that. I feel like if you're right for a role, you'll get it no matter what. Like, that's just not my mindset. I don't feel like there's so much horror out there, so many movies, there's enough for all of us. So I never felt that way.
I guess I just feel that there are some big actors that used to talk shit about horror.
Mm-hmm. And now they act.
And now you're doing it? Man, you know, that's a little fucking hypocritical if you ask me.
Sure.
Maybe it doesn't happen very often, but it has happened.
No, it doesn't happen very often.
Who are you talking about, Kane?
Oh, no.
Let's talk shit.
No.
That'll be for episode 13.
Remember, as I said before, I'm starting to make wiser choices in life, like that edge of the building thing. So I'm
What happened when we all agreed to this podcast? Where was that positive thinking on this? No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that there is more competition out there. Because of the fact that horror is mainstream and people go, oh, wait, this is a lucrative way in, where before you had to be a genre fan. You had to have heart. You didn't want to show up on a movie just to be covered in blood, you know, because you weren't making a ton of money.
But I think it's great for us because there's so much out there, so much TV. I think we will work more and do, you know, incredible projects because there's so many passionate filmmakers and, you know, TV producers who want to make great product.
I hope so.
And then people that want you to be in their horror film offer you something different, like a comedic role. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing wrong with having a little comedy, as Adam Green showed us, in a horror movie that doesn't have to be at the expense of the scariness.
Absolutely.
And when you can do something that, as we talked about before, something that you've never had the opportunity to do, it's very attractive as an actor. Like, you know, when I was doing an accidental zombie named Ted, I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
I was the boss of a factory that makes useful products out of discarded human skin. So I was fucking hilarious in that movie, I think. And it was so much fun just being the asshole boss, but in such a fun way that, you know, it just showed a different side.
What kind of products did you guys make?
Oh, you know, like clothing and, yeah, lampshades, obviously, yeah. But clothing, wallets, and you know,
shoes.
And there was one of my employees was Ted, and he was a zombie, and he was always frustrating me, pissing me off, so it was fun.
Is there anybody that you guys haven't worked with that it's like kind of on that horror bucket list that you'd go, oh man, that would be really awesome to do a movie with so-and-so?
Well, I you know, in my stunt career, I've worked very closely with actors that I've admired.
Sure.
And thought, you know, like Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman. At one point, I found myself on my knees in a closet with Will Smith in his underwear, and I'm rubbing gel on his thighs because
sexy time.
I had to put some protective gel because he was running through fire.
Oh wow!
So I'm, and it just entered my mind: how many people in the world would love to be in my position right now?
Or how many people have been?
Absolutely. I would love to work with Kathy Bates.
She's
one
the
of
best.
My favorite actresses ever. I mean, everything I see her, and she's so brilliant, and she looks like she's probably the sweetest person and the most giving actor. So, I mean, Misery is one of my favorite films, and just her performance is outstanding. So I would definitely say if I ever had the opportunity to work alongside her, I think I would just like...
I mean, Misery is just...
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
Terrifying.
That's terrifying.
She's so damn good. I mean, they're both so good. I mean, and what actors to be able to just be essentially two people in a room and
really,
you're staying with it and you're not leaving.
No.
Is there anyone
transfixed
that comes to mind that you'd love to...
For me, I mean, I'd always been a big fan of Rob Zombie's films, so Sherry Moon would be a lot of fun to work with, I think. You know, I just people that I we've are all in this genre, but I've actually never really been in a room with either of them. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. But I've always been a huge Elm Street fan, Heather Langenkamp.
She's also just the nicest lady.
Do you
hang out with her at convention?
No, I mean, not hang out. I've hung out with her at convention. She's the nicest lady. And I just think that was my little girl watching a movie going, holy shit, that is the final girl. That is, she's sexy and she's cool and she makes the right choices. Like, that's the part.
I have to admit, when I did Devil's Rejects, I was a stunt coordinator. I was very excited to work with Rob.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. And, you know, I don't even think that I was excited about the action within the movie as much as just working with them.
Well, and it's funny because you don't hear a bad thing about their little family. Like, you don't. Like, Ken Foray, like, is a good friend of our families. And he's just like, Rob Zombie's the best. Like, him and Sherry are the best. Like,
he's very loyal to people he works with, so I love to get one of my best friends
works with him all the time. You know, he's like, he's the best. So thanks, Rob. We're all right here,
Rob Zombie.
Now, my case, I don't know if you saw The Green Book.
Yes,
of course.
Viggo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I worked with Viggo back in the late 80s.
Tell me he's the sweetest man.
Yes, he is.
And I love that movie. He's fantastic.
He's very cerebral, which I loved about him. Even back then, he was, you know, taking his character so seriously. And, you know, we became friends. And he actually was at Susan and my wedding.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Are you still friendly with him?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But because of how he approaches acting, I would love to do a serious scene with him someday. Mm-hmm. That would be a dream come true, because I just loved watching him prepare for scenes and stuff. He was just like watching Charlize.
Wow. So does he know that? Does he know you feel that way?
I don't think so.
You know, it's funny because I had heard when he was working on Green Book, you know, he was very self-conscious about playing that kind of Italian. He wanted to really be very authentic. And he was so fantastic. I mean, that's my background.
He gained a bunch of weight for the role.
And he looks great. And I just, I'm mesmerized by his work. And that character in particular is fantastic. So, yeah he's someone who's definitely... great actor and great person.
And I did two horror films with him in a row. So he wasn't averse to that type of thing, even back in the 80s.
Sure.
He just liked working and liked the role, because I did Prison and Chainsaw 3 with him.
Wow. So this is kind of a weird question, because we all obviously love the genre and don't want to leave it. But is there any genre that you haven't done anything in that you would be like, hell yeah, it doesn't matter what it is, I would try that? Like, do you want to do a musical? Do you want to do...
Yes, I want to do a musical, because I've always wanted to do... And I suck. I'm the worst singer on the planet. And if you've ever heard me at karaoke, you would know I'm the worst.
I'm pretty good.
And I want... No, I'm terrible.
No, I've actually done karaoke with
you. I would love to do a musical with Hugh Jackman and just like...
Hugh Jackman?
Because I think he's so cool. He's the master of all... You know, The Greatest Showman is so fun. And I love... And the music is so touching. Like, you know, just... I don't know. I would definitely love to try a musical. I'd be shitty, but it would be cool to try.
No, not for me.
The only musical I would do is Grease 2. That's it. I would do the Grease 2 remake. Great.
That's Grease 1.
I want to do a cartoon. Like, I've done, you know, I did God Killer with me and Bill Moseley, and I do some Robot Chicken stuff, but I would love to voice a very just like ridiculous kids cartoon. I do a lot of auditions for them. I never get them. And I fucking want one. I want one so bad. And really, it's really just for my kids, like, that they could sit there.
I would agree with that. I would love to do some kind of
cartoon
character, because I love doing voiceover stuff anyway. Yeah. But it's always announcer stuff that I get. I don't get character things. You know, I have a good announcer voice.
You do.
Absolutely. That works, because, you know, they prefer to have, typically, to have no detectable accent.
Yep.
when you do announcer stuff.
I have no accent either. Everybody's like, you know, you have such a good voice. You have a face for radio.
Everybody says that.
Everyone says that.
Right over there. Yeah. Everyone at that mic says that.
Everybody's saying that. I know you're thinking that right now.
No, but it's such a specifically hard craft, too. People that are good at VO stuff are really good. And every time I have a whole little recording thing set up in our house, and every time I do the audition, I'm like, God damn, this was really good. And then I'm like, it's probably not as good as somebody else. And I really want it. I want to play a villain. I want a villain cartoon.
And let's face it, it doesn't matter what we look like.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You just show up.
They're casting by your voice and the character of your voice.
So. We get to do a lot of that. Like, I mean, we've all, I believe, done some stuff for Movie Crypt marathons where they do the live readings and stuff like that. I mean, that's
yes, I get to go in and talk bulls. I'm always talking with Joe Lynch about bulls.
Balls. In a voiceover? We're talking about voiceover, not just your regular conversation.
Joe Lynch and I had to
She's
go
always
back.
Talking about balls.
I had vagina. Balls. I had to go over to the Movie Crypt, you know, to save the Yorkies because they made $35,000.
So, that's right. You went back.
And I had to go back a fourth time so Joe Lynch and I can do our balls conversation. Okay. We talk balls.
And do you think any of our friends are going to ask us any ballsy questions? I have an interesting question that kind of just goes to a horror question from Johannes Linder. It says, I'm fascinated by movies about urban legends. Is there any urban legend that you'd love to be made into a horror film? And the answer is yes. Anyone that is from or near the area of like Westchester, New York, there is a place called Buckout Road. And Buckout Road, somebody has made recently a movie about this, but I always wanted to, is a weird road that has one way in and one way out, but it's a weird, windy place. And we used to go there as teenagers because the albinos, and this is actually true, not an urban legend, it was an albino community. Lived up there. And so dumb teenagers, because dumb teenagers are assholes, would go to get a look at, you know, albinos. And this part, I believe, is urban legend that some teenager went up there, albinos like, fuck you, we're going to fuck you up. And the albinos kind of took back their street. So it was a weird urban legend about an albino community on Buckout Road.
Well, and somebody's going to write this script now. You should.
Well, somebody already did. Someone made it, and I think it's coming out in a year or two. Because it's been an urban legend there for years and years and years.
And what city is it close to?
Yonkers, New York.
Wow.
Yonkers, I know Yonkers. I love Yonkers, New York. Okay, you got any questions?
Well, I did get a good question this time, not a dark one. And I'm not sure I really have an answer yet, but any unfulfilled dreams, career-wise or life in general?
That's a great question.
That is a good
one
question.
Of the rare non-fucking dark questions.
I know,
that
you're
I got.
Always with the dark profound.
Yeah. It's from Tracy.
Tracy, great question.
Better be good. Yeah, it better be a good answer for Tracy.
What you got?
So I don't. So
you have nothing.
While I'm thinking, if you would.
I'm back to my dream. I just talked about it. I want to be a villain in a cartoon. I want that. That is a dream of mine to have. And it just is for my children. I've had such a career of blood and guts and nudity that it's not really conducive to, I'm coming to career day. You know, so I'd love to have the career day part that I could kind of, that would trump all of the other nonsense and be like, yeah, you can go speak at any event.
Well, the cool thing is it kind of coincides with the question that I was going to answer from Sam. So Sam was wondering, and it also has to do with horror today, could Sleepaway Camp be made now? And that would be a dream of mine. So we've been kind of pondering and thinking about this for many, many years. And I'm really hoping that the right everything comes together. It's kind of a perfect storm with Sleepaway Camp. You know, it's a difficult film to make because we know the ending, this huge, shocking ending. So I'm really hoping, and my dream would be to see Sleepaway Camp remade in the next couple of years.
Hmm. That'd be great.
When you would go to the theater and watch the movie and your big scene was revealed, did the audience just freak out?
Freaked out. So Sean Whalen is one of my very close friends, and he saw Sleepaway Camp in 1983 in the theater on opening night. I didn't know him. So he goes to the theater. He's like, whatever, 20-year-old guy with his friend. And he said he was in the theater with a bunch of people, and the ending happened, and the entire theater, every single person stood up, applauded, looked at each other for about 5 minutes, proceeded to exit all together as a group, the theater, and stood together on the sidewalk for at least another hour to discuss what they had just seen.
Wow. That's crazy.
And since I haven't seen the movie, sorry.
It's okay.
But what was the big, I know what the moment was, but why was it so unbelievable story-wise that you turned out to be male?
Because the entire movie, you see this young, quiet, sweet little girl being bullied and picked on so badly, and you're not sure who the killer is. So that's really what the reveal would be, who's the killer.
Right.
But then you find out that when the boating accident happened, they went 8 years later. And so you just imagine when you see me that the little girl survived, not the little boy. You had seen the two twins. But my aunt in the beginning, who's raising me now because my dad also died in the boating accident, she had a son, so she chose to raise the little boy as a little girl. And then it's revealed that the little girl, Angela, was not in fact Angela, but it was Peter, the twin. And so it's shocking. Wow. So you find
like
that
double twist.
The killer, and it's really the boy.
And I don't know if you grew up in the East Coast.
On the East Coast, yeah.
And
same.
So for someone that did not grow up on the East Coast, the term sleepaway camp is completely foreign.
Really? Why?
You don't
you grew
we
up
have
in
sleepaway
California.
Camp in California?
Yes, we do.
It's not
yes,
called
my kid
what is
went
it called?
To sleepaway camp.
Because you called it that.
What do they call it?
Camp.
No.
Yes.
No.
I mean, no. That sleepaway.
No.
The term
sleepaway is a specific type of camp.
Camp is day camp.
It's day camp.
I go to camp and I went to camp. It was
That's
day
how
camp.
You know it. I challenge people.
You're wrong.
No, I am.
Maybe that's because you were in Hawaii, right? I mean, weren't
No, I was in the Marshall Islands, but
Marshall
before
Islands.
Before that,
camp
I was
is a
in
term
Reno.
Everywhere.
Really?
And it was not. Nobody ever called it sleepaway camp.
All right, we have a producer here. What's the deal? Sleepaway camp or camp?
It's sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway camp.
East Coast. So
she's East Coast too.
And
you grew up with the term, so you think it was always called that around the country.
Sleepaway camp?
I don't think so.
No, it was just camp.
See?
It was just camp.
So someone here
East Coast
is
sleepaway, the term sleepaway camp. But you grew up with it, so you think everybody called it.
All right, fine. Is it a backpack or a book bag?
It's a backpack.
Book bag. And I've heard book bag is East Coast. I think you only say backpack
because my kids say backpack. I probably said book.
I know people
anyway,
are
this is a riveting conversation.
I am correct about the sleepaway term.
Wow. Well, when you see sleepaway camp, it is very East Coast because everybody in the movie talks like this. Hey, Angela, why are you so fucked up? Like that is every... and no, see, honestly... Every person in the movie talks like this. It's a comedy.
I guess my dream role is not... why are you laughing?
Because I thought you were going to say, he'd like to play Angela.
No. is not necessarily a character, but I would love to do a dramatic scene with a well-known quality actor or actress just to prove that I belong there.
Like your Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, something like Viggo or someone who I respect as a performer to do a really meaningful dramatic scene.
Respect, which means it's going to be no one in the genre who needs to think outside the box.
Somebody that, yeah, I don't know.
That's accurate.
But that would be my unfulfilled dream. Career-wise.
Oh, man. You heard it here first. All of the dreams need to come true this year. Cartoons, Sleepaway Camp remake.
Musicals.
You starring in a movie with a real actor.
The Sleepaway Camp remake will be on the West Coast called Camp.
Or it might be a musical. But we thank you so much for listening to Casualty Friday on the Fangoria
Podcast Network. And now we're just going to kill Kane because Kane, I really have a dream.
Again.
You didn't have a dream. I'm going to crush your dream.
Casualty Friday is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, hosted by Tiffany Shepis, Felissa Rose, and Kane Hodder. Executive producers, Dallas Saunier, Phil Nobile Jr., Matt Mangiarides, and Justin Martell. Produced by Natasha Pasetta. Associate producer, Jessica Safa-Vimer. Art and design by Jason Koslerich. Sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pasetta. Music by John Brennan. For Fangoria, Brandon Wynardi and Rachel Wilson.